Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This fear of people that we have, social anxiety, you can call it social anxiety. What is this fear actually? So now we're talking about taqwa, right? Taqwa of Allah. If it's not taqwa of Allah, what is it taqwa of? Taqwa means to protect yourself from something. What is someone protecting themselves from when they don't use straightforward speech? Because straightforward speech is an act of bravery where the only one you fear is Allah, right? But if you fear Allah, but you're also fearing some other people or things, what are those some other people of things? It could be fear of rejection. I need to say what is true. I need to say what is within Allah's deen. I'm not violating the taqwa of Allah. I'm saying the right thing. But if I say it, I'll be rejected. I'll be criticized. There will be a disapproval of me. There will be allegations made against me. There will be a questioning of my intentions being corrupt. There will be maybe a possibility that I'll be made an outcast. I'll no longer belong, right? The people I love, they love me in this version of me, but if I speak my truth within the taqwa of Allah, then I might not be acceptable to them anymore. I'll just be an outcast. So now I fear losing the people around me, and so it's better for me to not speak straightforward, live in my head and not actually come out and say something. The fear of feeling shame, guilt, inadequacy. If I speak and they say, nobody else thinks like this, why do you think like this? Something's wrong with you. The fear of being perceived. By the way, as I'm saying this, can you just, in your mind, you should be thinking about what the Prophet and his family went through, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this surah, right? The emotional, the psychological attacks on the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah is opening up the door for him, for the marriage to Zainab and for their marriages, and the kinds of comments, right? And then Allah said, I did all of this, لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَرَجٌ. So there may not be any shame on believers. I did all of this to free believers from this, right? Now, so the fear of feeling shame, guilt, inadequacy, the fear of being perceived as not submissive, because some people, in some cultures, Muslim cultures especially, but other cultures too, you're a good person if you're submissive. You're a good person if you obey. So if I speak something that contradicts the, and even if it's right, I'll be labeled as someone unsubmissive, ungrateful, deviant, therefore unworthy of protection. Because submissive people usually become very timid and they feel like they need the protection of the people around them. So they'll never question them because they might lose that protection, right? So there's a kind of almost a hijack type situation. I might be labeled as selfish. By the way, that's part of the surah. Because something is halal. When something is halal, it's a benefit for you. When you come out and say, this is halal, there's nothing wrong with it. And people will say, how selfish are you, right? Because this is an act of selfishness. Like they were, the hypocrites were trying to accuse the Prophet ﷺ. Everybody else gets 4 wives. Why does he get more? That's so selfish. You see that? And Allah said, there's no shame on the Prophet. مَا كَانَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. There's no shame on the Prophet. فِي مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Whatever Allah mandates for him, whatever Allah allows for him. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلٍ. There's a sunnah of Allah. And by the way, I didn't tell you this. I was holding back some of the juicy stuff until later. The surah right after this one is Surah Saba. And in Surah Saba, there's a really beautiful story of a Israelite king, prophet, who brings another queen. So it's a very spiritual and romantic story, actually. In between the lines, right? In this ayah, Allah said, whatever is allowed for the prophet is allowed. There's no shame on him. This is a legacy of Allah from age old. Sunnatullah fil ladina khalaw min qabl. And in the very next surah, what's happening? Thousands of years ago, a king is pulling out a queen from her throne. Here's the sunnah of Allah right there. Right, this has happened before when Allah opens that door for His prophets. There's no shame in it. So you'll be labeled as selfish. The fear of, then there's legitimate fear. If I speak this and nobody wants to accept it, then there will be a fear of not being able to control outcomes because people feel safer around the familiar. And if you speak truthfully, if you say al-qawla sadid, there will be an earthquake. People will be rattled. People will see you differently and the situation around you will change and you're not able to control those outcomes, right? So you lose the familiar and you're not sure how you're going to be able to handle the unfamiliar. Now, where do these fears come? I listed a bunch of fears. Where do these fears come from? Sometimes they come from an upbringing. So there's a psychological component to them. So people are raised in sometimes in societies and cultures where disagreement is punishable. Disagreement is disrespectful. You can't speak your mind because that's not how we raise, that's not what a good daughter does, that's not what a good son does. You can never speak your mind. There are cultures that emphasize harmony and the appearance of harmony and submission over commitment to the truth. There are cultures that are so extreme that even if, for example, unfortunately this happens, children get abused in families. And most abuse happens at the hands of relatives. So you find out, ma'adallah, that some nephew, somebody got abused, some child got abused by their uncle at some Eid gathering or something. Something happened at some wedding. The family finds out about it. What happens next? Any police being called? Anybody beating up the uncle? Anybody taking him to trial? What's the policy? We don't talk about that. They'll even go as far as, you must have asked for it. You must have invited. How sick? Why? Because the submission policy is so powerful, we need to preserve our own version of dignity. Even if that's violating a child's soul. We have to preserve that, right? So there's this can be a very extreme part of many cultures, right? And Muslims are not immune from this. There's also religious manipulation where you know, in our religion and other religions, but we're talking about our own religion, patience and humility are very powerful values, but patience and humility are misrepresented as silence and submission and passiveness. So if you speak the truth, you're not patient. And if you speak the truth, you're not humble. And if you want to be patient and humble, silence. Right? So we manipulate these beautiful teachings and we crush al-qawla sadid using them. Right? And that's the opposite of the taqwa of Allah. Then there are other family dynamics, not just that push submission, but there are other family dynamics in which your opinion isn't really worth anything. That's because you're not a scholar, or you're not an elder, or you don't have a degree, or you're the youngest one, or this, or that, or the other. There's some reason to invalidate you. So anybody else that speaks, their opinion matters. You speak, your opinion is worthless. And you, even if you're speaking the truth, it's worthless. Like, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam is a kid and he's speaking out against the idols and people are like, you know, are you joking? Am anta min al-la'ibin? You know, are you kidding? You can't be serious. This is just a kid, like a dismissal. And there are actually family dynamics in which people are raised to think that their opinion is entirely unworthy. So they choose to not speak the truth because they say, who's going to listen anyway? Why even speak up? There's no point. Because they ascribe worthlessness to themselves, even though it was falsely ascribed by others. Then they internalize that and start ascribing it to themselves, right? The abandonment of the abandonment of past experiences. Like if, for example, somebody spoke the truth and trouble came their way because they spoke the truth. So they're like, I learned my lesson. Next time I'll learn to shut up. Next time if I don't want trouble, I'll just stay quiet. There's a wife who, a husband said, what's wrong? And she says, well, you disrespected my mother really badly. And he loses his mind and threatens and says, I'll take the kids. I'll move to another country. I'll do this to you or that to you. And what, you know, your father's dead. Who are you going to call? Et cetera, et cetera. He does all this stuff. What does she learn to do next time there's a problem? She can be quiet because it's terrifying. It's terrifying. By the way, men go through that too. Men are hostages. Stay quiet. There's a storm in your head. Won't say a word. Be terrified of the consequences, right? Ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida is actually pretty revolutionary. Lose the fear of people and speak up. What? What are you talking about? That's taqwa. That's taqwa. That's some serious taqwa. Because the fear of people and the fear of judgment and the fear of abandonment and the fear of past, you know, damage repeating itself. Oof. That's not a small fear. These are very real anxieties that people suffer, right? And Allah in this surah, He liberated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that, even in the most subtle way. And through that, He called on the believers to be the people who are liberated from that. You know, there may be someone among the Bani Israel that's very knowledgeable. very knowledgeable. And he sees the Prophet ﷺ and immediately knows he's the Prophet. Immediately. He could just say al-qawla sadid and say, I know he's the Prophet. I'm switching sides. And maybe he's the one who gives the khutbah on after Sabbath. He's their imam. He's their sheikh. His next khutbah in Medina could be about how the Prophet is himself the messenger of Allah. Right before he goes and gives that speech, what are the consequences of that? If he gives that speech, what are the consequences? He might get killed. He'll definitely lose his position. There's a lot of people that wanted to be head imam, head rabbi. They've been vying for his position. He's going to be out in no time, right? Then if he does accept Islam, when he comes to the Prophet ﷺ, is he some head scholar or is he a new beginner Muslim? He's a beginner Muslim. All this, everybody used to come and say, show their respects to him. Everybody used to ask him for the fatwa. Everybody used to ask him for tafsir. Everybody used to ask him about Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. He was the go-to. All of a sudden he accepts the Prophet ﷺ. What's his status? He goes from being a lifelong teacher to now a beginner student, doesn't he? Is that an easy transition? The fear of losing your place? Fear of losing your position in society? The fear of losing your status? Losing your respect? The fear of no longer being the one to be heard, but the one who has to listen? The fear of that downgrade? Is that also a fear? Is the ego also afraid of a hit? Could it be enough to keep someone from accepting the truth? And by the way, I'm not just digging on rabbis or religious leaders in Medina. Could it be today that there's a Muslim, a scholar, a knowledgeable person who learned something about their deen, but they can't say it because if they do, they'll lose their following? Isn't it the same problem? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. By the way, this applies in all spheres of life. This is the foundations of Muslim civilization, right? I keep saying that. Imagine you're a pharmacist and you see your pharmaceutical company is doing something corrupt. You speak up, you're going to lose your job. They're going to have a team of 100 lawyers coming after you. You're going to be ostracized, never going to be able to find a job again, etc., etc. But if you don't speak up, a million people are going to have diseases they don't need to have. What ayah do you need to remember? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. You're working in a campaign. You're working in a political campaign and you know about deep corruption. You know about it. You're working in a charity organization and you know about how they're taking those charity funds that they take to, and they show you pictures of dying children and they take that money and now they're using it for other corrupt means. Throwing big banquet dinners for themselves. And you know about it. It's a good job. Pays the bills. You say something, you stay quiet. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Whenever you say this, whenever you live by this, there's no way, no sane person will live by this and not know that there are going to be consequences. There have to be. So Allah says, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. I think this is one of the most profound statements on this subject in the Quran. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Actually, إِصْلَاح in Quran, إِصْلَاح, is used in a lazim way. وَأَصْلَحُوا. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَبَيِّنُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. Without a maf'ul bihi. It's a verb without an object. So Allah says those who clarified and, you know, those who repented and clarified and reformed. Reformed. But he doesn't say reformed what. He just says reformed. He doesn't add an object to that verb. Like reformed themselves or reformed society or reformed their behaviors or reformed others. No. Just reformed. So you fill in the blanks yourself, right? And then it's used, this word is used in its more intransitive form, like we say, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Right? They do good things. So let's first talk about the word, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Before I tell you the meaning of this phrase, let me tell you the etymology, just briefly about صُلْح. صَلَحَ is when you, إِذَا رَجَعَ الشَّيْءِ الْفَاسِدِ إِلَى أَصْلِهِ. When something has gone bad, and you're able to bring it back to what it used to be. So salah would be, for example, there's a building. It was a really beautiful building and then it got mold and it started looking ugly. And then somebody hired a crew to wash off all the mold and give it a fresh coat of paint and restore it to its original state. That building, somebody did islah of it. They restored it to its original good state. Okay, so it's a restoration process is called islah. Brothers used to be brothers and they got into a fight and now their relationship is sour. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٍ إِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. When two factions of Muslims are fighting each other, reconciliate between them, meaning restore them back to the way they used to be. Bring them back to the original state. That's sulh, right? Food that has gone bad is fasid. Food that remains good in its original state is salih. That's salih, okay? Allah is using this word in a strange way. This phrasing doesn't occur anywhere in the Quran. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. The first thing I'll tell you about this is, Allah separated this statement from the previous one by an ayah, even though it's still the same sentence. How do we know it's the same sentence? Notice the word yuslih has a sukoon on it. It's not yuslihu, it's yuslih. This is called jawab al-talab. Jawab al-talab means, you know how you have if-then statements? The first part is if, this part is then. This part, and there's two kinds of ifs. There's if, and there's instruction. So for example, I say, drink water, you'll feel better. Or I say, if you drink water, you'll feel better. So I could say that two ways. Either I instruct you, and then give you the result. Drink water, you'll feel better. Or if you drink water, you'll feel better. How do I know those two things are connected in Arabic? The verb gets a sukoon, it becomes majzoom. So you see yuslih in the beginning. That's a clear indication this is not the beginning of the sentence. This is jawab al-talab. This is responding to the previous demand. What was the previous demand? Have taqwa of Allah and speak in ways that are clear, straightforward, direct, honest, brave, and where there's no fear consideration other than Allah. Remove the fear of people and anxieties of abandonment, all that stuff. Let that go and speak. And if you speak this way, then what will Allah do? Allah will reform your actions. Allah will reform your actions. I was expecting Allah to say, Allah will reform your situation. Because I had anxiety that if I speak right, it's going to be a terrible situation. And Allah will come and say, I'll make sure the situation doesn't get terrible. That's not what he says. That would have been, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أُمُورَكُمْ يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أُمُورَكُمْ. Or like he says in Surah Muhammad, وَيُصْلِحْ بَالَهُمْ, their situation. Here Allah could have said, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ بَالَكُمْ. You speak straightforward, Allah will fix your situation. Not what he says. This is Allah's way of saying, when you speak straightforward, the situation does get worse. Like, you were right to be afraid. Congratulations. It is going to get bad. Get ready. So what is Allah going to fix then? He's going to fix how you react to that situation. Because when you face a bad situation, you panic. When you face a bad situation, you succumb. You get afraid. You get angry. You react. You know when an animal's put in a corner, you don't know how it's going to react? Fight or flight? Allah says He will reform your course of action as if you will learn to become so internally strong that even if nothing wrong was, no storm was coming your way, you would act a certain way, you can still continue to act that way as if nothing has gone bad. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. It's profound. Allah will give you the kind of mental, emotional, spiritual fortitude that you can navigate the crisis that's coming your way and keep completely calm. You're like the rock that the ocean waves crash against. Right? The ocean waves are coming and crashing, but the rock is where it is. This is يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. It's powerful. What a thing to tell the believer. I'll make sure that you act in a guided way. I'll make sure you act in a responsible way. He'll guide your actions. I actually consider this ayah an act of divine intervention. This is divine intervention from Allah. He is actually stepping in and saying, you, since you did this very brave thing, you spoke the right thing only out of fear of me, I will empower you with the right course of action. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. It's like you did your part, now Allah is going to do His part. By the way, this to me is actually a further elaboration of something Allah already said in this surah. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. He is the one who sends all good things towards you, along with the angels, so they can pull you out of what? Darknesses into light. You speak the truth, people are going to put you in a dark place. And Allah will bring you back out with the correct course of action. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. It's amazing. And you would know, when I read that ayah first, a thought came to my mind then, I didn't tell you guys. When I was first studying that ayah, I was thinking, Allah mentioned Rahim. Allah mentioned, كَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. But normally He doesn't just say Rahim, He says Ghafoor Rahim, right? Allah mentions both attributes. Rahim was there, but Ghafoor wasn't there. Until I came to this ayah. And all of a sudden, what do you find? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Wow. You'll cover your mistakes. Another amazing realization here. By the way, this is also jawab al-talab, same thing. You know, in this ayah we're learning that actions are actually a lot easier. Allah makes actions easier. What's a lot harder, according to this ayah? What took the taqwa of Allah to really happen? Speech. Actions of taqwa are a natural consequence of the speech of taqwa. The real hurdle to cross for the believer is taqwa-based straightforward speech. That's the real battle. That's the real battle. That's why اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. He could have said اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا وَأَصْلِحُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. The umur could have kept going. Speak straightforward. Fix your actions. No. The actions, I'll help you. Speech, you're on your own. What a thing to say. What a training from Allah of building the kind of fortitude. Building the kind of fortitude. You know, sometimes I don't want to call it hypocrisy, but I do want to call it maybe a kind of schizophrenia. I'll speak to people. They'll say, yeah, we can't do that at our masjid because there's going to be a lot of backlash. There's going to be this, that, or the other. We have to consider the feelings in our community. Is it right or wrong? No, it's wrong, but there are lots of people with lots of feelings. So we have to be sensitive to the feelings of certain people. Are their feelings legitimate or illegitimate? No. I'm not saying their feelings are legitimate, but we need to make sure, because we need to make sure the feelings of the people that are writing the checks for our organization, their feelings stay in a good place, because then the checks will stay in a good place, right? And then those same people will get up and say, we stand for justice. We only fear Allah. We want equal rights, and we demand civil liberties and truth to power. Really? Really? You want to talk about justice? You can't. You're afraid to be just inside your own home, inside your own organizations, within yourselves. You're so afraid of what people might think of you. You're so scared about PR. You're so scared of PR. PR has become a god. It's a god that's worshipped more than Allah. It's feared. Which is what's keeping you from speaking straightforward. Speaking straightforward. How will Allah ever correct the actions of people who refuse to take this step? Because Allah put it conditionally. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. And even if you speak straightforward, here's the other thing. Okay, fine, somebody decided to speak straightforward. Does that make them an angel? They're still going to have sins. They're still going to have a problem. Just because somebody's speaking truth doesn't make them perfect. But you know what? When somebody speaks truth, they feel brave. At least I'm speaking the truth. I'm the champion of the haqq. That can become a kind of self-righteousness, can't it? Well, there's a security against that self-righteousness also. Allah didn't just say Allah will correct your actions. He said, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He'll forgive, He'll cover your mistakes. He'll cover your sins. Because you are also sinful. لَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't declare yourselves pure. Don't assume yourselves to be righteous. Allah knows who has taqwa. He knows better who has taqwa. He knows better who has taqwa even than myself. I don't even know about my own taqwa. Allah does. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And then from there, Allah opened up the broad. Now that you understand this, now the rest of the religion. What's the rest of the religion? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger. Isn't that the entire religion? Isn't that the entire religion? So it's like in these two ayat we got, hey, you need to cover this foundation, then you're ready for the rest of the religion. If you can't even, by the way, the most profound qawl sadeed is La ilaha illallah. The most profound qawl sadeed is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it was profound at that time because the moment you said it, everybody became your enemy. So it really took a lot of taqwa to say that qawl. And then Allah guided those people's actions. Now, when there's billions of us, now saying La ilaha illallah can be fashionable. Now saying Muhammadur Rasulullah can get you more views. It's not a revolutionary thing to say now, but it may be something under the umbrella of La ilaha illallah. Something under the umbrella of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Muslims have forgotten, that Muslims are uncomfortable with. And now you're trying to be honest about Allah's book and saying what Allah's book says. And you're open about it and brazen about it because you only fear Allah and you're afraid. You don't want to be counted among those who hit something that Allah has told you to be clear about. You don't want to fall under that category. So you just fear Allah and you say it. That's a litmus test. يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, sounds pretty straightforward, but actually, Allah and His Rasul, they keep coming up in this surah or no? From the beginning. You see, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا إِن كُنْتُنَّا تُرِدْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمَنْ يَقْرُطْ مِنْ كُنَّا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ. اللَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ رَسُولُ. And now finally you come to the end of this surah and you find whoever truly obeys Allah and his messenger as if Allah is saying, pay attention to where it came up so you know what this means. You know, now this is a loaded statement. This is not just a statement that's generic. Oh, it means pray, means give zakat. Yeah, we get that. But it's coming at the end of this mountain of a surah. It's here for a reason. And even the word Allah used, by the way, there's two words for success in the Quran. There's falah, qad aflaha al-mu'minun, and there's fawz. Which one did Allah use here? Faqad faza fawzan mubina. You know what mafaz is? Mafaz in Arabic is a desert that has no water, that you can die when you travel in. And if you get from one end of that desert to the other and you survive, then fuzd, you survived. You succeeded in crossing the long, tumultuous, painful desert. And as you travel that desert, does the journey get easier or harder? It gets harder. Allah says, if you, given these principles, can obey, whoever can obey Allah and His Messenger, they've crossed the impossible desert. What an amazing success they've achieved. What survival that is. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. It's very powerful words. It's as if Allah is describing, this is not a one-time thing. This is a journey. This is a journey you have to keep going on, and it doesn't get easier. The only thing Allah will give you is guide your actions. Just like guiding the steps of someone traversing a journey. And when they're traversing a journey in the desert, it's easy to go in a deviated path and you won't even know because there's no road markers. So you could end up going in a giant circle, you won't even know. One little deviation, by the way, what's the word for going perfectly straight? Sadid. Sadid. And now Allah is saying, and whoever can obey Allah has crossed the desert in a straight line. They made it. Because the shortest distance is a straight line, right? SubhanAllah. An entire worldview captured inside this ayah.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.